worship you, Lord. You are good. You are good.
Isn't he the best thing that's happened to you? I just love that song.
Yeah.
I just think that we need to realize how good, how amazing God is. Let's just stop just right now and let's just be quiet before the Lord and let's just welcome him. Even though he's already here, let's welcome him into our own lives. Let's welcome him to touch us, to change us, to draw us closer to him this morning. Lord, we love you. You are Almighty God. And as we come in this Christmas season, Lord, and we realize all that you are, about your great love for us, Lord, that you gave, and you gave, and you gave, Lord. You gave your only son. You walked down the staircase of heaven with a baby in your arms for us. Lord, we just stop in our day today, in our week, in our hustle and bustle, in our joy and our pain, God, and we acknowledge you for who you are. Come our way this morning. Lord, touch our lives. Lord, we long for your presence. We long for your power. We long for you, Jesus. We long for your presence. So, Lord, today we just come and we give you, Lord, your free reign in each one of our lives. And that's up to each one of us as individuals, but you need to say yes or no to God. But this morning, we just welcome you. Touch us. Change us. Lord, draw us closer to you. Give us a greater revelation of who you are in our lives today. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as churches are meeting all across this town today, Lord, churches that we're connected with, churches that we love, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as they're gathering, as they're meeting this morning, as they're fellowshipping together, as they're growing in your word, Lord, that you bless them. Lord, that you would just, your power would be very present in their houses this morning, God, and that you would touch each of their lives as you will here. I just thank you, Lord, for your power, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, even as we came here this morning, Lord, with joy, Lord, with some challenges, with all these different things, that, Lord, today you are the God that's more than enough. Lord, you are, I am that I am. You are the God that's more than enough for every one of our challenges and situations. Lord, more than enough to celebrate with us when we're happy. I just pray for each need here, God. If there's a sickness in the body, Lord, that you would heal that. The power of your name. Lord, if there's a need in finances, God, that you would do the miraculous this morning in finances. Lord, if there's struggles mentally or just with fear or with discouragement or depression, God, that you would break the power of that in each life this morning, I pray. The power of your holy name. Lord, we just ask you as we continue on into this service, Lord, as we open your word, as we talk about what that would mean to us in our everyday life, God, that you would be, Lord, the one who teaches. Lord, that the words that I speak would be your words, that thoughts that I have would be your thoughts. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit this morning would enlighten that and fill each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. God's good. I love him. I do. I love God so much. I'm just so excited. It's Christmas time. We're going to have next week, our kids are going to be doing a puppet presentation. I don't know. There's lots of good adjectives in the bulletin about what that all is. Just amazing, outstanding, beautiful, crazy, a little wild, a little noisy. Come on out. Bring some friends. And let's just enjoy that time together. We're going to have them giving about a 20-minute presentation. I'm just going to talk for a little while after that about Christmas, about God, about what he wants to do in our lives. So this morning, though, just thankful to be here. Thankful that we didn't get all that snow that Buffalo got and the North got. We were just coming back from Erie, Pennsylvania, right ahead of that storm this week. So we were really happy to get back and not be stuck out on the highway somewhere surrounded by tractor trailers and other cars. So we're happy to be here. On the 23rd, we're going to have our Christmas celebration, our Christmas Eve, before the Christmas Eve service, sort of the decision before the decision. And we're going to have a short service in here, probably 45 minutes to an hour. And then we're going to have some time out in the cafe with some good drinks and some treats and some great music playing. I believe that Gary and Tom are going to be playing for us. So it'll be really cool. It'll be really classy. It'll be like feeling like you should wear a tux that night. So dress up. It'll be good. We're starting a new series today. I'm pretty excited about the series, as I am about every series, and every series I think is going to be the best one. Just keep believing God can do something great in our lives, and I believe that He is. So the series we're starting today is called I Am. It's really a series about the character and the nature of God. I hope it'll be a key for each one of us to really understand and know God better. It'll be a key to have us grow in our Christian life and our walk with God. Have a picture here of a key. Or we should have one shortly. Do we have one? It's a key. See, it says on it, the RMS Titanic. It's kind of a cool key. It's just probably a normal skeleton key. But this key was sold at auction in 2007 in England for £90,000. £90,000. That would be like $180,000 Canadian dollars. This was a key from the Titanic. And it wasn't one of the stateroom keys. It wasn't like the kitchen key. It wasn't any of those kind of keys. This key belonged to a small chest that was up in the crow's nest of the Titanic. And this key opened a box that contained the binoculars so that they could look over the sea and see icebergs and things like that. They didn't have a lot of the technology we have today, so they had guys that actually stood in the crow's nest. They had the box, they had the binoculars, they looked out through that. The problem was there was this guy named David Blair. He was supposed to be the first officer in the crow's nest. And at the last minute, before the ship sailed, they replaced him with someone they felt was more qualified. But David Blair forgot to give the key to the crow's nest box to the new person that was taking over. So when the Titanic sailed from port, the key was somewhere in Ireland. And they got out to sea, and we all sort of know what happened. There was a ton of things that went wrong, probably a ton of little mistakes. They were going too fast. They were showing off a bit. There was just a whole bunch of little things that history tells us that happened to cause the wreck of the Titanic. But they interviewed after the crash and the people, there's like 1,522 people drowned in that wreck. And they did this whole inquiry into the wreck. And they interviewed this guy named Fred Fleet, who was one of the crow's nest guys that survived. And they asked him, if you would have had the key for the box, if you would have had the key to open that box and get those binoculars, could it have made a difference about whether you crashed or not? And he said that if we could have had the key to that box and we could have had the binoculars, we would have had enough time to call down and have the ship change course so we would not have hit that iceberg. Now, like I said, there's tons of reasons the Titanic crashed, and they're assuming that that's true. We don't know that that's true. We're not trying to blame everything on David Blair. But one of the things that's just kind of ironic is that such a small key could create such a big disaster. I think it's a lot like that for us as Christians. Sometimes we are missing just this small key in our life, that if we had it, we could avoid disaster. We could avoid some of the things in our life, and we can make choices that will be the right choice and bring us to the place God wants us to be. I think that the keys are really important. And what I want to talk about this next few weeks, I think is a really important key to us understanding who God is and why that affects us in our everyday life. We miss a little key that could have a huge impact and make such a difference in our lives. We often go through life, as they did in the crow's nest of the Titanic, looking at life through our naked eye. When we are supposed to be living life through the eyes of faith. And because we, we go through life with the naked eye and we just see things the way we see them and not necessarily the way God sees them. Sometimes we run into things that we don't need to run into. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So we need to see three things through the eyes of faith. Today I want to talk about the covenant name of God. Sounds really exciting, right? The covenant name of God. The covenant name of God, if you're an Orthodox Jew, ultra-Orthodox, you would not ever verbalize this name. It's too holy, too awesome, too perfect. The name is what we know as Yahweh or Jehovah. You just as an Orthodox Jew, you would never say that name. The name was first revealed to Moses when God was sending him to deliver Israel from Egypt. God had heard, the Bible says, the cries of his people. He'd seen their distress, and he was sending a deliverer. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he said, Moses, you're the man. I'm sending you. And Moses was pretty shook up, and he gave a million excuses, right? I stutter. I'm not the guy. I've been out in the bush too long. All I do is talk to sheep, and Pharaoh's not. I can't go back there. God, I can't. And God said, you gotta. It's you. I've called you. Pretty hard to argue with a burning bush, I'd say. So Moses then said to God, what is your name? Because he said, if I'm going to go and talk to Pharaoh, if I'm going to go and talk to my countrymen, if they ask me who sent me, who should I say sent me? And here's the account in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. It says, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, so you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am as sent me to you. And God said to Moses again, you shall say this to the sons of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title from generation to generation. Moses wasn't saying to God, hey, my name's Moses, what's your name? Oh, Jehovah, Yahweh, that's cool. He wasn't saying that. What Moses was really trying to understand was, in essence, who are you, God? Because we name kids now, to a great degree, because maybe family. I think I'm the third or fourth Ralph in a chain of Ralphs. I'm the last Ralph for now in that chain of Ralphs. I like my kids. I didn't want to call them that. You know, and my brother, John, is named after a bunch of Johns in our family. And Tim, his second name is Adolf, named after a very famous person, my grandfather. And there's just, all of us have names that are related to our family. And also, sometimes we just name names because we like the name. Christine named Levi. And she picked a good biblical name, God, the anoint, I mean, not God, Levi, it means the anointed one. And he has a good biblical name, but Logan, I just like the name. I just thought it was a cool name. I read it in a book one time, Stranger at Stone Lake. It was a kind of cool book, and I liked the name, and I said, I have a son, I'm going to name him that. So I liked that name, and I called him that. We named his second name Samuel, thought it was a biblical name. But we just name a lot of times now because we like names. Or because they're family names. But in Bible times and in Hebrew custom, they named people names, and really their name spoke of the essence of who they were. I was listening to a guy on the radio this morning. He was talking about when it said in the Bible that his name shall be called, it wasn't just saying he's going to hang a plaque on him that his name is, you know, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. It wasn't that. It was saying that he's going to have this name that will be the essence of who he is. It's going to be telling us what he is really like. We have nicknames, right? Nicknames are sort of more like biblical names, really, than a lot of things, because we nickname people sort of for their character. A lot of times people say to me, hey, big guy, how's it going? You know, because it's pretty obvious. You know, and if somebody's kind of a smart mouth, you go, hey, smart guy, how's it going? You know? I know that while we've been doing our renovation here, there's been a lot of nicknames flying around, and probably Jim is responsible for a lot of them. But I know Tom Hutchinson and Jerry Van Engen were working together, and they got dubbed Tom and Jerry, which is their names, but sort of after the cartoon character, the cat and the mouse, they got dubbed that. And then John, our resident electrician, he got dubbed Oscar. No, not Oscar. Oscar, yeah. Brent's father on Corner Gas. You guys ever see Corner Gas? The old grumpy guy? That's Oscar, and he got dubbed that. And then John took a little retaliation, and he called Jim Hank Yarbrough. You know, Hank? So it's just been kind of funny, you know, like, because names are flying around, and they sort of speak of our character. We hope not. You're not like Hank at all, Jim. But, you know, nicknames are a bit more like that. We start to understand a person's essence and character. So when Moses was asking God about what his name was, he was asking about his essence and his character. He was asking him, what kind of God are you? Are you the God of earth? Are you the God of sky? Are you the God of war? Are you the God of, like, fertility? Are you the God of whatever? Are you that? What kind of God are you? Because I need to tell people when they ask me what kind of God you are. And this is how God responded. God said, in response to the question, what kind of God are you? He said, I am that I am. I am that I am. So, God was saying, I am that I am. I am all that. I am God of earth. I am God of the sky. I am God of fertility. I'm God of everything. I am the Lord of everything, plus a lot more than you could even think of. And I'll be more than you ever need me to be. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That we are praying to the God that could do more abundantly than we could even ask or think, even though the power of God is working in us. God is just this big. He's huge. There are three sort of things that we know because God named himself that. The first thing we know from I am that I am is that we can never put God in a box. We can never put limits on God. God makes this evident throughout the Bible when he uses Yahweh as part of his compound name. A compound is two-parted name. So when we say, God, I'm going through this real struggle. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage next month. I don't know where I'm going to find a job. I don't know. Are you the kind of God that can help me? And he says, Yahweh. Sorry. Yahweh Jireh. Yahweh means I am. Jireh means provider. I am provider. Yeah, I'm that kind of God. I can provide for you. When we say, God, you know, I just got a bad report from the doctor. And it looks really bad. It looks like things aren't going good for me. And I just really need healing. Are you the kind of God that heals? And he said, Jehovah Rapha. I am healer. I am that. I am that I am. You know, God, I'm so afraid. I'm so full of fear. I need peace. I feel confused. I feel all this stuff. Are you that kind of God? Are you that kind of God? And he says, Jehovah Shalom. I am peace. I am your peace. And no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, no matter what situation we're going through, God is what we need. He is that. He is our peace. When we need love, he's the God of love. When we need acceptance, he's the God that holds us. When we need victory, he's Jehovah, our banner, our victory. He is all that we need him to be. You can't put God in a box. He's more than you could ever imagine. Your marriage might be falling apart or even over. And you say, God, are you the kind of God that can heal marriages? Are you the kind of God that can fix the broken walls of my life? Can you fix those? I am that. I am. God, I'm just, everything around me is going wrong. Can you help me? I am that I am. We can never put God in a box, and we can never limit him. Never. God is big. So the first thing we can know by the name I am that I am is you can never put God in a box. The second thing is God is more than a force. He's a father that wants to relate to you. God is much more than a force. He is amazing. Many people who no longer go to church or want anything to do with organized religion will tell you if you talk to them, I'm a spiritual person. You ever run into people that say that? I'm a spiritual person. And if you get them to explain to you their concept of the divine or their idea of who God is, they'll tell you about a God that's this energy field or this great force and this force, and we all belong in this force and we channel this force, and if we're good, we're doing good with the force. Sort of like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, you know? Luke, believe you must. We look at the force, and if you take the force and you use it for good, then you're on the right side of the force, and that force flows through you, and you challenge it, you use it for good. But or you could be like Darth Vader and take the force and go evil with it and go to the dark side. And it's all about this unknown force, this just greater kind of energy field kind of thing around. And there's just so much thinking in the world that way. But when God declared, I am that I am, he was saying, I am much, much more than an energy force. God is a force. God is powerful. God is absolutely amazing. All energy, all force, all power flows from him. But he was saying to Moses when he said that, I have heard the cries of my people. I have seen them in their state. I've heard their cries, and my heart is moved with compassion. I want to send a deliverer to them to set them free. God was saying, I am what people need me to be. You will never, ever hear, if you're watching Star Wars or if you're a Star Wars fan, you will never hear the Force say to Luke, Luke, I love you. Because it's just not what it does. You will never hear Luke say to the Force, I love you, Force. We all know what electrical power is like, right? Especially a lot of us guys who have had some pretty close encounters with hydro. It kind of hurts, knocks you on your rear end, and it's got power, right? It's got power to light your home, to run your furnace, to do all this kind of stuff. But we don't really have a relationship with electricity. God, though, said, I'm not only a force, but I'm a personal God who loves you. It's not just this great thing that's all around us that we just get sucked up into. God is a personal God who loves us, who relates to us all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus related to God as Father. He said, we're the firstborn among many brothers, that we're all the children of God now, heirs with Christ and joint, or heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God. God cares for us. He knows what we need and he provides for that. The third thing we can know about from his name is that all the blessings that we experience are a byproduct of our relationship with God. So many times we're cracking deals with God. We're saying, God, if you'll just do this for me, then I'll do this for you. God, if you'll just save me from this situation, I promise you, I will go to church for every day, every weekend for the rest of my life. I promise. Or God, if you just heal my body, I promise you I'll get up at 6 o'clock every morning and pray. Or God, if you'll do this. And we treat all these things, all these good things that come from God as something that God's pulling from outside of himself and bringing into our lives. But I am that I am is all these things, and all the things that we experience, all the good, all the gifts, all the stuff that we seek after as individual things are really just byproducts of a relationship with God. I love this time of year, as I've said many times, and this time of year, just finishing up Christmas shopping. I was out yesterday doing a bit of hunting for a gift for Levi, and every year about this time, or just a couple weeks ago, I would say to the boys, "Boys, make a Christmas list, a wish list. What would you like for Christmas?" And every year, to be honest with you, they don't need to write a list, because I see the list. I'm not surprised by anything on it, because we're in relationship with each other. We hang out together. They talk. I know what they like. I know what they don't like. I know what they're kind of dreaming of. I know what they wish that they could have or experience. And so I just have this list in my head. And as their father, I love them. And I just want to give them out of who I am to them so that they can have what they need and want. And our relationship with God should be like that. We should be close to Him and let God know us and us know Him. And then all these byproducts, all these good things flow out of that into our life. But when we start putting the cart before the horse, when we start just looking for the good things and loving the gift more than we love the giver, that's when everything goes wrong. That's when our life with God gets messed up. That's when our relationship starts to break down. We talked about this in our series, Canadian Idol, that when a good thing becomes a God thing, it's a bad thing. And we need to stop seeking the stuff, the things, like the Bible says, seek first, though, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So just through relationship with God, if you just love God, I think that's why Job could say with pretty strong conviction, even if He slays me, I'll love Him, because he realized that God is good. And if he just loved God and stayed connected to God, it was all going to come up right side up. That he knew that who his God was, that I am that I am. That God is good. So today I just want to take a look at one of the compound names of God and talk about what that means in our everyday life. The name I want to talk about today is Yahweh Shammah. Probably most of you have never heard about it, never thought about it. Maybe some of you don't even care, and you're saying this morning, what are you talking about this for? But I think it's really important. We can read about it in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. I'm just going to read the last part of the verse, and it says, "From now on, the name of the city will be Yahweh Shammah. God is there." It's talking about the city of Jerusalem, how God will be there. But God is the present God. God is there today in your life. God is present with you. This may not be a big deal to some, but for those of us that have experienced Yahweh Shammah, I am there in your life, it's like everything. It's like knowing the presence of God, feeling the presence of God, sensing God with us. It's hard to live without once you've lived there. I judge my days by the presence of God a lot of times. I'm like, God, I had a really good day today. I got to connect with you. I got to be with you. I sense your presence. I knew you were there. Other days, I'm so busy doing God's stuff and my stuff and just running around like a chicken without my head on. And I lay my head down on my bed at night and I'm like, God, I just feel like we're apart. I hate that. But there's this whole feeling in my life, and I know that most of you feel this way, is that we want God to be here, to be present with us in our life. I know what it's like when God shows up, and I know what it's like when He doesn't. And I want Him to be in my life. I just can't tell you how important it is for us to experience God. I was 18 years old, and I was going through some really challenging times, and I was really just trying to figure out, well, is God really your God, or is He the God of your parents? And I was trying to battle this all through and understand who God was for me, and it was a big challenge, and I felt like I was going through this big struggle. And there was about an 18-month period where I felt totally disconnected from God. I felt like God was so far away. It didn't help that I was probably living in sin and rebellion and all this kind of stuff and really wasn't living God's way, but I just felt totally separated from God. It was horrible. And I remember I was driving up to Teen Ranch in Orangeville, and I was talking to God in the car, and I was saying, God, I just really, really need you to show up in my life this weekend. I need to connect with you, because if I don't, I'm walking. I just can't live like this anymore. I feel empty. I feel hollow. I feel like a hypocrite. And I got in the first service of that camp. I was probably 18 or 19 years old, and the band played first few lines of a song, and Jehovah Shammah turned up in my life. I felt God wrap his arms around me. I felt the presence of the Lord in such a powerful way. I remember who spoke that weekend. I don't have a clue what they said. But that weekend changed my life. The presence of God changes everything. If you're struggling in your Christian walk, then take some time and get to know Jehovah Shammah. I am there. God is there today. He's here. He's present. I was talking to a guy named Ray the other night. He was here picking up his kid from youth, and we were just talking because he said he's really busy, and I said, yeah, I understand. And we're talking about balance and how to keep life balanced and how to keep, you know, serving God and loving God and doing all this kind of stuff. And he says, you know, Ralph, I had this experience when I was about 16 or 17 years old. I was at this church. I wasn't saved, and I didn't know God yet, but there was this missionary talking, and I just felt like after he talked that I should go up and just talk to him. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I just felt like I needed to talk to him. So I went up and I talked to the man, and he gave me a hug. And he said, I just felt the presence of God just fill my body. And he said, I walked around for 2 or 3 days with just this real, just this sense of the presence of God. He said, I wasn't even saved yet, but God touched me. God was there. He was so powerful in my life that morning or that day. Jehovah Shammah, God is there, changes everything. He wants to be there for you. He is here this morning. Exodus 33, verse 15 and 16. Just before this, God was dealing with Moses, talking to Moses, and says they were in the tabernacle and they were talking, and God was looking at Moses and talking to him like a man talks to a friend. That's amazing, isn't it? Like, just to talk, to have God talk to you. And I know he does. I know he does. But there's just something amazing about being present in the moment with God and have him talk to you as a friend. And God said to Moses, Moses, I got to be honest with you. These Israelite people, they're getting on my nerves. They're stubborn. They stiff-necked. They won't obey. And he said, I'm going to send you because I promised you I would send you into the promised land. I'm going to send you to a land where you're going to reap where you did not sow. You're going to live in houses you did not build. You're going to live in cities that you did not build. You're going to have the wealth of a land that you never produced. I'm going to give all this to you, but I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel to make the way for you. But I can't go with you, because if I go with you, I'm going to kill these stubborn people. I know I will kill them. And this was Moses' reply, and hopefully the reply of all of us. Then Moses said, if your presence is not going with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone ever know you're pleased with your people and me unless you go with us? Then we will be different from all the other people on the face of the earth. Moses was saying, God, if you're not going to be there, then I don't want to be there. You being there is what it's all about to me. Your presence is what I desire most. Here's the thing. You could have the perfect wife, the perfect life. You could have 4 kids that are really good and have perfect hair. You could have the nicest house on the street. You could have the nicest car in your driveway. You could have all the best toys. But without the presence of God, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Moses was wise enough to see that God was saying, I'm going to give you all this stuff. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to give you these houses. I'm going to give you stuff that you never earned, you never deserved. I'm just going to give it to you, but I'm not going. Moses was smart enough to say, God, if you're not going to be there, I don't want to be there. Because the stuff isn't what it's about for me. A lot of times as Christians, we settle. We say, well, you know what? I'm blessed. I have all this stuff. You know, I got a nice car. I got a nice house. I got good family. Everything seems to be going good. And we settle for that. And we say, that's good enough. But so many times we do that without the presence of God. We have to come to the point where we say, take it all, God, but I want your presence. I want to know Jehovah Shammah. I am there. Almost 5 years ago, I was in Mexico with the young people, laying in my bed at night, past midnight, and the phone rang in the base, and I could hear the phone ring, and they called me out of bed and told me my father had passed away. And I don't do well with death, to be honest with you. I don't do well with extreme sickness. If I got to go visit someone in the hospital that's really having a hard time, it really kind of breaks my heart, really get choked up. And I was just thinking, as I was laying there, so all these thoughts start flooding through your mind, and I was thinking, you know what? When Dad had his last stroke, I fell apart. I think I'm going to have a breakdown here. I don't know if I could handle this. I don't know if I could deal with this. And at that moment, I felt the presence of the Lord come into my life in such a powerful way. I was taken to the airport to wait for a plane. It was New Year's Eve. So I was 2:00 in the morning. I was sitting in an airport in Monterrey, Mexico, just waiting by myself. And just sensed the presence of the Lord in such a beautiful, powerful way. Jehovah Shammah. And I was praying, writing some notes about my dad so I wouldn't forget. All the way home, I was fighting for flights because it's New Year's Eve. It's like trying to get from Mexico back up here and last minute flight. And the first flight was late, so that means the second flight I'm missing and the third flight I'm missing. And every airport I have to fight for another flight. But as soon as I could sit down and just be alone, I could sense the presence of God come into my life. I was getting off the plane, I think, in Cleveland, and I was saying to God, God, I love your presence, but I could really use a live person to just talk to me or pray for me. And I am that I am came into my life again. I sat down in a chair. I was playing with my Palm computer, just playing solitaire, just trying to keep my mind, you know, sort of occupied. And this pilot sat down beside me, and we talked, and like your palm, and like this, and we're talking, and what are you traveling for? And I told him, and he said, I'm a Christian. Could I pray? And God is there. Jehovah Shammah, the present God. But we can't settle for less. We can have the perfect facility here. We can have a worship team that will blow the socks off you. We could have great children's ministry. We could have great everything. But if God is not here, it isn't worth doing. It isn't worth being here. Every Saturday night, I come to the church. And I don't want to say beg, but I do. So I just say, God, please show up. Please touch your people. Please be here in this place. So when people come into the parking lot in the morning, they will sense the presence of the Lord in the parking lot. As they walk through the doors, that they would just have an increasing sense of your presence so that their lives would be changed. God, if someone is walking close to you, I pray that this morning that they would be drawn closer. If someone's far away from you, Lord, that by your presence that you would draw them to yourself. Some of us really need to take that verse when it says that God, that he said, now the name of the city will be Jehovah Shammah. Some of you need to start speaking that over your life. You need to say, the name of my house now is Jehovah Shammah. God is there. We need to start speaking over our businesses and over our jobs. God is there. We need to start speaking over our children. God is there. Speaking of children, I was thinking about Nick Edelman again. He's just heading off for, he's probably in South Africa now as we speak on his mission trip. But I was thinking about his testimony, his life, what happened in his life. Nick had made up his mind. He had enough of God. He had enough of his family. He had enough of church. And he packed up his car with a friend and started driving west. He was on Highway 17, driving his car and his buddy, and they were talking and, you know, just complaining probably a bit. And then all of a sudden they start talking about God. And Jehovah Shammah showed up in their car on Highway 17 heading west. And the presence of God filled that car where they had to stop the car and just get on their knees and allow God to do a work in their life. When God shows up, it changes everything. When God shows up, it changes everything. Nick today is in Africa as a missionary. So cool what God can do when he shows up. Well, this morning, I've told a couple of my stories about God being there for me. I've told stories of a couple other fellows who God was there for. We read some stories in the Bible about God being present. But here's the thing. It's not just for me. It's not just for a guy named Ray or a guy named Nick. It wasn't just for Moses. But it's for you. So as we close this service, I've asked Jeff to come and play a song on the guitar. And it's just going to be a few words. We're going to repeat them. It might seem repetitive. I don't really care. This morning. So I don't really care about the repetitive. I don't want you to be thinking that much about the song. Well, it's just, if you could, just to stand and just wait a second. I'll just explain what we're going to do. But you just, you know, if you could, just put your hands in the air and close your eyes. And you know what? If you're not into this, please be respectful of the people around you this morning. Don't talk. Don't goof around. Don't laugh. This is not time for that. This is a time to connect with God. I just want you to stand this morning as we sing this song. Raise your hands. If you don't feel comfortable raising your hands, at least just close your eyes and just say, God, I want to know you as Jehovah Shammah. I want to know you as I am there in my life. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't know him as your Lord and your Savior this morning, just take the time and just say, God, I want to know you. Just do what everybody else is doing and allow God to show up in your life. Whatever your need is this morning, Just allow God to be who God is in your life this morning. But draw near to him. The song by Gillett is called Come My Way. All right, so we're just going to sing this bit, and then I'll pray and we'll close the service. You're welcome to come into the cafe afterward, have a coffee.